Hello.
Podcast Network Asia.
Welcome to Family is the Answer, an adoption and foster care podcast. I'm Karina Kuna Henson, Managing Director for Ruhe Foundation. Together with Podcast Network Asia, we're here to share resources to inform you and stories to inspire you about adoption and foster care. Hope you enjoy listening. Okay, hi guys. With me today are two friends. They've become friends of Ruhe Foundation over the last few years, Ken and Mafe Karangwe. Ken's actually working with a Philippine-based telco, and Mafe is doing marketing for a food and beverage company, right? Currently a marketing manager. And we actually came to know you probably about 4 years ago, I think, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Instant family.
We met at, one of Ruhe Foundation's very first events was a film showing. We sponsored the movie Instant Family, a really fun movie, and we met there. But this was actually before you both became parents. You've been married for 11 years. It's nice to see you both again. We're fast forward, you're 3 years into parenting your very, very, very cute son, Lucas.
Yes.
Thank you for being on the podcast. Very excited to just talk about your story and your journey and your experiences with adoption. Maybe to get started, would it be okay if you just tell us a little bit about Lucas and how he became part of your family?
You first?
First off, thank you for inviting us. I know maybe all of the parents would say their kid is the cutest and, you know, the sweetest and all that. Yeah, he's really very sweet. That's one thing. It's a standout character. When he sees his mom not feeling well, or probably when he sees his mom not happy, he would say, "Mom, are you okay?"
Yes.
He would do that. And then sometimes, especially if Mafe would go to bed early because she's not feeling well, he would go there and say, "Mom, can I pray for you?"
You
know, for a five-year-old to do that, he's really very sweet. Sometimes he would just do role-playing, especially with his mom. He would role-play as if he's an infant and say, carry me. He just, you know, even his...
He likes to be babied.
Yes. But not
sometimes.
All the time.
Sometimes.
There's just that moment that he wants to be babied by his mom. And then, but a lot of times he'd say, "No, I'm a big boy already." But those moments, he would just ask his mom to carry him. And, you know, he would sing for him.
Wow.
Like a baby. So, yeah, that's Lucas.
That's really, really sweet.
Yeah, Lucas in my eyes is a combination of me and Ken.
Really?
Yes, because Lucas also loves to sing.
Okay.
And Lucas also loves to do a lot of things, like his dad. If there are tools that he can hold on and look for something to do, he will also do that like his dad. And if he has this dull moment, sometimes you will hear him sing,
compose
songs. We don't know the melody. And
he's
one time...
Yeah, it's just, you know, would blurt out certain tunes, melodies, songs, and create his own lyrics, basically. He creates that. We don't understand sometimes what he's saying. But, you know, he's very spirited when he does that. And, you know, he wants us to sing with him, even if we don't understand what he's saying. That's Lucas.
He's very sweet and very vocal about his feelings. So every time he's not feeling well, "Mommy, I'm not feeling well. There's something ouchy or itchy on his body." He will really tell you that. He also speak on... anything. As in anything, you will ask you about anything. Sometimes kami na yung, "Ano daw?" And he also loves to say, "I love you, I miss you, I care for you." Every time I go home from work, I always call him because I know that he will be the one to answer our landline. Then I just want to hear from him, "Mommy, I miss you na." Oh. So those are the things that are really blessed that God gave us this special child. Who's very like us.
I was going to say that it's really nice to hear the way you talk about your son and the way you've been able to see the similarities that he has. And you're able to draw that back to, "Oh, you're so much like your dad. You're so much like your mom." And, you know, in the adoption space, we talk about how powerful that is for a child to understand that while you might not be biologically related to us, you can inherit things from us, gifts and talents and skills and attributes. And it's not all biology, right? That's not really the most important thing, like others might think. But you're actually able to pass on so much. So, you know, while you're talking, I can understand how easily someone could be listening to this podcast and wondering, oh, hold on, I thought the child they're talking about was somebody as a child they adopted. You could easily forget that actually that's how Lucas came into your family. So maybe we could go back 3 years ago and you could just give us an overview of that journey. And maybe, you know, what got you to that point of being open to adoption? I know, Ken, you had actually some encounters even before the journey with Lucas that opened up your heart and maybe kind of made you more aware of your desire to want to pursue adoption.
Yeah, even before, it was really my desire to have a family. So whether or not we have our own biological, my desire is really to have at least one adopted child in the family.
Why was that?
Well, number one, because in my family, my relatives, adoption is not new. We've had a lot of situations in the family wherein they adopted a relative. Mm-hmm. They adopted somebody else also. And
right.
Even me personally, growing up, I was actually a working student. And God was so gracious to me that he gave me three people whom I considered like my adoptive parents. Throughout college, they were the ones who supported me as well. They encouraged me. They helped in whatever way they can. Basically, they impacted me a lot as well. The support that they gave really helped me through college. Not only that, my dad was also married to my stepmom. I'm very close to her.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they didn't actually stay together for long,
mm-hmm.
but she accepted me as her child.
Right.
The entire family accepted me as part of them.
Yeah.
Basically, that exposure opened my heart to the idea of adopting a child, maybe mm-hmm. one or two, or, you know, depending on the opportunities the Lord would open to us.
Yeah, I think that's interesting because I always say that in Filipino culture, actually, the heart of adoption is actually very, very prevalent. Like you see it in a lot of families. And the way you're describing it, the love of your stepmom, the love of adults that had cared for you and sponsored your education and supported you, even as a young adult, right? Mm, and knowing the acceptance and the love of someone who wasn't biologically related to you. And seeing that that's actually a powerful thing it was for your life.
Yes.
Actually set you up for adoption.
Mm.
That's really nice that you're able to touch on that because contrary to what others think sometimes, I always say, no, I really believe that at the heart of every Filipino, there's the capacity to love a child that isn't biologically related to them.
That's actually one of the prayers I had before. I was single, of course. When you're single, you always pray for your God's best, right?
Right.
So I was praying, Lord, sana, that person I'm going to marry, please make her someone who's also open to adoption.
Mm-hmm.
Open to adopting a child.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really one of the checklists.
Yeah, one of the things.
one of the key traits. Yes, key traits I'm looking for, Lord.
Right.
So, yeah.
So was that true for you, Mafa? Like at the beginning when you guys, you know, first started getting to know each other and eventually pursued marriage, were you always as open as you are now?
Yes, actually, when he popped that question, is it okay for you to adopt whether we will have a biological or not? So in my heart, there's no rejection. But I don't have any experience of adoption.
Right.
But I am open to it. And I don't see any problem about adoption.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy for us to really plan about adoption.
When I asked her that question, we're still in the stage of
dating.
Yeah, we're dating. I was already having mental notes and say, okay, I have to ask this question. Lord, sana, yes, ang sagot niya. So when I asked that question, you know, the Lord
willing,
are
you open? Yeah.
Are you open to adopt? And then she said, yeah, it's fine. Are you sure?
Is that the moment you knew she was the one?
That was actually already okay, all right? Because I was also thinking it's not common to find someone that's aligned in that aspect as
sure.
well, especially in the area of adoption. So that was my thinking before.
You know what? I hope there are single people listening because actually my hope is that it's not common, but maybe it's just people just don't talk about it. It's not something
to ask
or to bring up when you're dating.
Correct.
So actually, that's really interesting. I always say that like for people who are listening, and we have a lot of like even college students that listen to our podcast, we're like, hey, you know, it's okay to want to be thinking about that as something that you see, you know, somewhere down the road in your life and have those conversations because hopefully you do end up with somebody that there's alignment.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. But I also say that not always are do we meet couples where they were on the same page at the same time. I like just your honesty in that you were open, but you just didn't have a lot of experience. So maybe it wasn't something you really thought about too deeply.
Yes.
But because you triggered the conversation, yeah. you're actually able to invite her along with you in that journey of being open and considering it.
Yes. And when he explained to me his experience with the three titas that we have right. in Cebu and his experience to his stepmom.
Right.
So it opened my heart. Yes. That, oh, it is a beautiful thing wow. that we can consider as a parent soon because we're not
married that
you weren't married yet. Yeah. Well, that's really inspiring. That's really very inspiring.
But it was a risk also that I have to take during yeah, that because sure. I was thinking, and if I ask this question, it might turn her
could
off.
Could be a deal breaker. Yeah, like, deal what if breaker. She says, yeah. oh, no, like, okay. you know, I'm scared. Yeah. That scares me.
So, yeah, but it just got slimy, I think.
That's great. Yeah. Okay, and then, so eventually you did go on to get married. How did that then become a, really more of just in the future kind of a plan or a hope or a dream to, let's really do something about this, let's explore this more seriously and see what would happen? At what point was that for you both?
During the start of our marriage, we've talked about it. When are we going to do this? We planned maybe after 5 years,
okay.
We can already start processing the adoption. So here comes 2016.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about it already. We asked the Lord if this is really His will for us. So we asked for guidance, but we're still passive during that time. So 2017, that's the time His friend introduced us to an orphanage in
Laguna.
And it really triggered us to start praying about this, thinking about it, and to look for a way to start the processing.
Right.
Because we've learned from them that it would be a long way.
Yes.
So we're okay. We really have to start it now.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah.
But actually for her, it was more passive during the first few years. In my case, I've been praying for it because, you know, from the beginning, I really wanted to adopt the child, be part of the family, but I don't want to pressure her into it.
Yeah, of course.
So my prayer was that, God, you have to open her heart. I can't, you know, I can't force the situation. I don't want her to say, yes, I want to adopt a child because
yes.
you wanted to adopt a child.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, if that's going to be the case, maybe in the long run or down the road, I don't want a scenario wherein we're arguing, fighting, and saying, it was your choice, it was your decision, it's what you wanted. I was just forced into it. So I didn't want to force her to like what I like, to want what I want. In that
yeah.
in that particular perspective, I want it to be a decision by both of us. I also took it as not yet a God's go signal for us to pursue. So my prayer was that, Lord, until you make her want it already, I think that's the time that we are going to pursue
it. Right. And so it actually turned out that visit to a children's home in Laguna was really a trigger and really opened your heart. We find
yes.
that there are mixed views with regards to whether visiting orphanages and children's homes is a good thing or not. But I say that the one good thing that comes out of it, I found, is that you see something that you can't unsee.
Yes.
Yes.
And if God touches your heart during one of those visits, there's no way to go back to not knowing what you then know and
yeah.
not, you know,
yes.
unseeing what you saw, unfeeling what you felt,
yeah.
because it really changes you very deeply mm-hmm. sometimes. Maybe you could share with us what happened during that visit to that children's home that really,
oh, sure.
that really touched you guys so deeply.
Okay. When we entered the room, there's this little kid. He says to me, Mama. Sabi ko, Mama. So it really touched my heart because that was my first time to hear a child
call
him
Mama.
Yes. And he's really sweet. It was already two
That's
by
true.
Then. Yes, yes. And after that, I tried to ignore him because I know it would be very difficult for
your
me
heart,
to
yeah.
leave
oh,
that
yeah.
place without bringing him with us.
Yeah, without just taking him home with you.
So I tried to ignore him and we tried to play with other kids like that. And we also observe how they eat their lunch at the time, how they play. It's just fully observation. And then when we talk after,
in the car,
there's this child.
You were both
yeah.
thinking
yeah.
the same child.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, well, she was trying to separate herself. probably manage her emotions.
Correct.
I, on the other hand, was drawn to this child already. So when I had the chance, when I saw that he was left in the kitchen on his own, and the rest of the kids were already in the play area, I sneaked in and then just spent time with him, talking with him and all that. And I really wanted to bring this kid home.
Wow.
Tapos, syempre, hindi pwede. So, this kotse, that's when, you know, I told her, you know what? Was there someone, some kid there?
Are that you connected you, with?
Oh, like that. And basically, she described the kid and I said, that's exactly the kid I was stopping to. So, yeah, after, I think, a couple of months, we went back to Laguna, right?
Just a few weeks later.
A few weeks later,
we interviewed the director of the orphanage. How can we process it? And then that's the time also that they informed us that it's not really possible since we live in Manila and they're in the Region 4 unless we transfer to the Region
4. To move, right?
Yeah.
And my friend was actually also very, you know, trying to be very helpful and say, you know what? You know, we can actually make an arrangement to make you residents of Laguna.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
to make it work out.
Yes, to really help us get the two kids. He was so willing to do that. Sabina, you know, we have a house here in Laguna and, you know, you can use that as your address. He was so willing to help. But the thing is, it's just not probably God's timing. Well, not probably, but definitely it's not God's timing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how, you know,
and
it happened.
I guess in the end, it didn't work out, right? That particular adoption plan.
But my learning was that, you know, it did work out for us, but it worked out for the two kids.
Yes.
I mean, when we were processing it, it took me a while to actually really accept the fact and moved on from these two kids.
Mm.
She helped me process it. And she was telling me that, you know, maybe these parents are really suited for these two kids.
Right.
Because if we were meant for these two kids and if these two kids were meant for us, then
it would have happened. Yeah,
it would have happened, you know. Regardless of whatever, you know, restrictions we have in our laws and all that, it would have happened legally.
Right.
Because that's one of the things that we want to make sure. We want to go through the process correctly.
Right.
We want to go through the legal process. Because as I was searching, even Facebook, there are a lot of people offering kids for adoption.
Yes.
And
it's
you
a scary
can just,
place.
Yes. They, you know, you can easily message them and they can set up other parents wanting to surrender their kids and all that. But we don't want to go through that process. We want to do it legally.
Right.
It's just so difficult to get two kids in that legal process.
Yeah.
But I've accepted the fact that, you know, it's not God's will. It's basically not what God wants for us.
Speaking of Facebook, I remember this. A friend of us sent us this picture.
Okay.
And then, Maf, maybe you can connect to Rohe. The child that is with them.
There was this
remember
Facebook,
that?
I remember that very well.
That's why when I actually read that, I was driving. I have to look for a gasoline station to park. So that I can immediately send
look
a message
for Rohe,
to Rohe. Yes.
Rohe, we don't know about Rohe
during that time.
Yeah. But I remember my office mate, her daughter worked for Rohe for
some time. That's right. She was interning with us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So
you connected the dots?
Yes.
Okay.
So I immediately talked to her. I told her, I heard Rohe from you before. Because when we checked Rohe, it's based in Singapore.
Yes.
We don't
our
have any contact. Any contact in the Philippines. So I checked with her. Jaira connected us. So that's the time when we had the first talk and you also gave us some advice about the process and you also mentioned
Operation Compassion.
Yes.
Hi there, I'm Coach Laika Maravilla. Whether you're looking for a new opportunity, a new position, or a promotion, I'm here to help you land your dream job. Let me walk you through what you need to do before, during, and after your next job interview in the Get Hired podcast. Listen, learn, and get hired now.
Well, you know what? It's really funny that you brought that story up because actually what happened there was that on Facebook, there was this picture of two babies. I think, was it two? Were they twins?
Yes.
Twins that were left in the hospital, a hospital that we were not connected to at that time.
Mm.
And people had been commenting and tagging us, trying to get us to see if we could respond to the situation. At the time that you called me, because somebody had probably alerted you that we had been tagged on the post, we actually had not even heard of the two babies at that time. It was you, your call that triggered us to check the Facebook and to say what's happening online that we don't know about, that we had been tagged in the post, I think tried to get us to see if we could help and respond to the needs of that child.
Okay.
And so what we did was we called the hospital to see if what was the situation and how we might be able to help. In the end, the two children, the twins, were taken care of. But I look back on that situation and I thought, how funny that we were tagged and that you saw the tag and that's what prompted you to connect with us. Yeah. And I mean, I feel like somehow God was still working on your behalf.
Correct.
To connect you with somebody that might be able to help move your journey along. Even if that didn't, turn out into anything for your family, it allowed us to connect and see how we might be able to support you guys as you explore your journey more. And I think it was later that year that you actually were able to start the process on the adoption of Lucas.
Yes. After we talked with Operation Compassion.
And then
through Operation Compassion, we've met our attorney, Bishop, who helped us and led us throughout the process of adoption. So God works in mysterious way that He opened a lot of doors to make these things
possible for you.
I remembered after that film showing.
The Instant Family film showing.
That's actually where we actually met a lot of people that helped us through the journey. That was where we met Joel.
You introduced us to Joel and Noel.
Right after the film showing, that was when we get a two-on-two special orientation on fostering and adoption.
Wow.
Care of Joel and Noel.
That's really great. Yeah.
And then from there, we met Minette. That's where it started from.
That's wonderful. I love how the community was able to support you through the journey.
Yes.
And so overall, I mean, we might not have time to talk about the whole adoption journey, but overall, what was the experience for you guys like? Because there is that perception that it's long, that it's agonizing, but you sit here today, it's been 3 years and you've actually completed the entire process, including the court hearings, the legal process. Lucas is fully Ikaragua today.
Yes.
What was that journey like for both of you? What was your experience with adoption in the Philippines?
Adoption in the Philippines, if you are not ready about the timeline, if you're not too patient about waiting, you might
get disappointed
and frustrated about the process. But at least during the process, we're already enjoying having a child when he brought him at our home.
Right.
So that time made me realize that it is okay to do the processing. Because we're already enjoying our child.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What was scary though was there's that caveat that you can take him home, but it's not a 100% guarantee that the court will grant you this child.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a 95%
guarantee. Yeah. It's really so scary because you invested so much in terms of emotions. You pull your heart out for this particular child only to find out that the court will not grant you the child. So that 5% still very scary.
Yeah. I actually have not heard of a case, though, where the court disagreed with assessment. So DSWD and the NACC, what we call a government body agency today that looks over adoption, is now the NACC. They do a really good job. And the agencies like Ruhi and Operation Compassion, all of those agencies, I think the goal is really to do a good job at assessing the match so that hopefully there's almost no chance that the court would disagree. But I hear you in that regardless, the anxiety, the fear for a parent who's really deeply in love with their child, that even that risk, that small risk, I think just goes to show the depth of your love for your son.
Yes.
And how you really immediately treated him as your own.
In fact, there was a time when we were, going through the process, the court hearings and all that, and especially during the pandemic when it has to be rescheduled and all, we came to a point where we have to settle it in our hearts and in our minds that what if the extreme and unfortunate event where, the court would say, no, we're not going to give you this. What are we going to do? How are we going to react? I mean, we have to be ready for these things, right? Because I personally don't want it to, I don't want to be caught off guard, especially with my emotions.
Yes.
So one of the things that we agreed on was that it doesn't matter if in case it comes to that point where the court will not grant us the
custody.
Yeah, the custody of Lucas. We've settled it in our hearts that the Lord has given us this opportunity to love a child, enjoy that moment.
Yes.
And if God says, okay, your time is up, we have to be willing to let go of Lucas. Doesn't mean to say that we don't love him anymore. It's just that, you know, we can love him in that particular situation. We can still love him. We're not just the parents, but nothing's going to stop us from loving him. So, yeah.
That's a really powerful way of seeing it. It really reflects your faith in God and how you've trusted him through the journey, that regardless of the outcomes, knowing that it's God who builds our family.
Yes.
And God chooses how to build our family, however way he wants, whether with biological children, adoptive children. It's really God who brings us all together.
We even reached the point of saying, now, what if God is not calling us to be adoptive parents, but maybe foster parents?
Yeah.
So then we started thinking about the idea, okay, so we have to be ready to see kids come and go. So it doesn't matter if they stay with us for a few days, a few weeks, a few months. Important thing is we've impacted them and they've impacted us as well.
That's right.
We were setting our minds to that.
Are you guys open to that? Are you open to fostering in the future or maybe adopting more children? Is that something that might be part of your future plans?
Yes. Yes. We're starting to prepare another document for another child.
Wow. For the second child.
That's great.
We've already contacted Operation Compassion to help us in this process.
Because Mina was there from
the beginning.
She was the one who introduced us to
social worker.
Yeah.
So when we decided to pursue a second child, we contacted Minette and asked, you know, pwede namin gawin. Also, I reached out to Joe and he was asking for his advice, kung ano pwede gawin for a second child.
And Minette is also following up with us.
That's
Hi,
good.
How are you? Are you ready for another child?
Yeah.
So when we're ready, we contacted her immediately.
That's great. Yeah. Minette has been really instrumental. I mean, Minette is a social worker for Operation Compassion and they were so instrumental in helping us set up the Work for Me Foundation. We've learned so much from them. And I think it's really important to work with a social worker that you trust and that you're able to talk to, share your concerns with, and feel comfortable following up with as well. But on that note, maybe just in closing, I wanted to touch on what advice would you have based on the many learnings that you've taken away from this journey? I mean, you're 3 years in and already exploring the next. What are some of the learnings that, you know, looking back 3 years ago, these were some of the things you wish you heard, you wish you knew about the journey?
Well, for one, I wish I heard what you mentioned earlier, that you haven't had any cases of
the judge, actually, or the courts.
Yeah, that would have, you know, spared me a lot of anxieties. No, but, you know, kidding aside, you want to...
Okay, I'll do first. My learning during this period, you should have done this earlier.
Yeah.
We should not have waited for sooner. 5 years.
Yeah.
Because I realized that since we are open about it, since we are willing and we're ready to build our family through adoption, you should start immediately. A piece of advice to our listeners. If you think you are willing and you are ready and you are capable, to build your family through adoption, do it now. Don't wait for a longer time.
That's
or
great,
right? For the perfect.
Yes, because there is no perfect situation, perfect timing for this. If you think, and if it is also clear that God is telling you to
explore
and go for it, then do it now. Don't wait for a perfect timing or perfect situation for it.
Wow, that's great advice. I think that reflects the perspective of sometimes families wait because it's like their backup plan. And I love how for both of you, it was never the backup plan. You know what I mean? It was always a plan A. And you were always open to that and you came into it. And hearing you say, I wish I did it sooner. I mean, I think sometimes we think about the wait in the adoption journey, the court process, all of the hearings. Now, many families won't have to experience. But we always remind them, I know the wait might be long for you, but the wait has been infinitely longer for the child who has been sitting in a children's home wondering if there's a family who would love him or would love her. And so thank you. That's beautiful advice to just step out.
Yes.
Don't hesitate and start as soon as you possibly can. Yeah.
My advice would be for parents or for future adoptive parents, if you're contemplating of getting into adoption and there are certain hesitations, I would say one major learning that I have is God's grace. That's really one thing that I learned when we stepped out and, you know, pursued the entire process. Everything was God's grace. We are new parents. Everything's a new experience for us. But God's grace, because he made us realize that even us, we're adopted into God's family. We realize that God took us in as is where he is, mm-hmm. right? He was not looking for a perfect Ken or a perfect Mafe yeah. before he took us in as part of his family. And from that point on, he was there taking care of us so that we can be better than the day before. So that's number one. God's grace also brings with it his grace to help us parent so that we can, you know, no parent is perfect, but we always have that opportunity to learn, right? And learn those wrong approach to parenting, probably, and learn new ways, new methods of reaching out to the kid, raising the kid. There are a lot of resources now available for us to do that compared to before. Mm-hmm. Resources are made available even because of the internet and because of the growing number of resources that we have, like Joel, Minette, and Rohe, and you know, all those resources that God had made available for us to become better parents.
Even our family and friends.
Even our family and friends. It's number one. Mm-hmm. That's a major support for us as well during that time. And even now. And thirdly, God's grace also covers or includes his provision. I feel a lot of potential parents, that's one of the major hesitations.
Sure.
There's really no perfect situation can say I'm well off enough to be able to adopt a kid. But you know what? Agencies like Rohe and DSWD would be there to help assess you if you're really capable or not, yes. right? If you are not capable in that aspect, they would also tell you. But then I feel that at least for our journey in the past 3 years so far, God has provided for our needs.
Yeah, if I may add, there's a misconception about adoptive parents are not real parents. Yeah. So it's just a misconception. The reality is being a parent is not just about flesh and blood. It should be coming from our heart. And you should be ready mentally, physically, spiritually about it. So nurturing is more important than the natural birth. So for us, we realize that every day, since we have Lucas, our love for him is really growing. We cannot imagine our life without him. So, you know, that's real parenting. Yeah. It's really not about our biological or the DNA. It's more on the love, the authentic love that you can give to the child.
In fact, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to the fact that we grow up in a very less than ideal environment sometimes. We can't say that we have 100% perfect parents, and even others have very, very unfortunate experience with their parents. So it's not a guarantee that if you have biological kids, it's a guarantee of a 100% perfect relationship, right? So yeah, I totally agree with what Mafi said. It's a decision to love, decision to take care of. And on the other hand, the result is also different. In our case, we've experienced the love coming also from Lucas. Mm. And you know, it's such a joy to feel loved by this kid. Mm. He doesn't have any notion yet of being adopted and not being adopted, but he's able to express his love to us. And it's something that we always cherish every time. We're always, always on the lookout of video moments that we can capture those moments and we can watch the video over and again. Iba ang feeling talaga.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. I've just learned so much from both of you and from your story. And I think it's really going to move a lot of hearts. Thank you for your authenticity to share the hard parts and also just the wonderful joy that comes from being able to pour out your love into your child. And I love what you just shared, Ken, about also not just the love of having a child, but the love you receive from your son being something that has really deeply changed both of you and your family's story. So thank you so much. Thank you for continuing to share your story and advocate for adoption. I believe God's really going to use your journey to bless a lot of hearts. So thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
Also for
inviting us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
That was the Family is the Answer podcast by Rohe Foundation and powered by Podcast Network Asia. If you're interested to know more about adoption and foster care, visit our website at rohefoundation.org, where you can find articles, videos, and other resources. You can also find us on social media. We're Rohe Foundation on Instagram and Facebook. Again, thanks for listening, and I hope to catch you at our next episode. The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.